Lakeview Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A second round of powerful tornadoes rips through the Midwest. This man and his friends are helping in Portage, Michigan.
People are trapped in their neighborhood. Cars were trapped. We were just trying to clean those cars off and clean neighborhood exits out so people can leave their house if they need to.
Dozens of employees trapped inside a FedEx facility have been rescued. An Israeli military spokesman insists coordination between allies is still unmatched. After CBS News confirmed the U.S. is withholding an arms shipment over concerns about an expected raid on Rafah, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Indeed, the United States has been holding up the shipment of dozens of major pieces of ammunition to Israel.
Stormy Daniels delivers salacious details of an alleged tryst with Donald Trump at his hush money trial, CBS's Robert Costa.
Daniels' comments drew repeated objections from Trump's lawyers, who asked for a mistrial, claiming the prosecution was trying to embarrass the former president.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tickets are on sale for new Amtrak service between the Twin Cities and Chicago. The trains will make 8 stops in Wisconsin. The second daily round-trip trains start running on the 21st. Coach fares start at $41 with discounts for students, seniors, and military personnel and their families. Another summer of wildfire smoke could be bad for your health. Travis Knudsen of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency says small particles in wildfire smoke can cause itchy eyes, coughing, and short-term breathing problems.
If you are someone who already suffers from respiratory issues like you have asthma, it makes those acute symptoms that much more challenging and potentially problematic from a health perspective.
Today is World Asthma Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A 6-5 win in Kansas City over the Royals. Top of the ninth, the Crew down 5-3. The Royals fans daring Adames to be the hero. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win.
Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on-deck circle. Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to him over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to him. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. That's what he did. It's amazing. No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with him during Gary's at-bat. And he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more. And he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go. Watch this. Went up there. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome back to the program our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss what's going on and take your phone calls.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 68 for a high this afternoon. The wind west becoming easterly at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers and thunder showers possible. Our low 47 tomorrow. A little rain in the morning, clearing by late afternoon. It's going to be windy with a high tomorrow near 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Civic Media.
AM The Zone. From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, and those fields are a little muddy on a Wednesday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Thank you so much to all you rainfall reporters that have already started chiming in with your updates on the weather. Appreciate that. We'll start off with Fountain, Minnesota. Picked up just about a half an inch of rain in the past 24 hours' time. Horicon, about a half an inch rain as of yesterday morning. Frank from Elroy had 6/10 of an inch of rain. Northeast of Menominee Falls, 2 inches of rain by 7 o'clock last night. Burnett, 0.7 inches of rain. And I think I had about a half an inch of rain in my rain gauge west side of Madison. Go ahead, let me know what you've got. It doesn't have to be anything official. Just give me an idea. Our talk text line is open for you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We may be dry today, but more rain on the way tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy skies. We'll see daytime highs touching out around 76 degrees, a little cooler on the lakeshore. Tomorrow, showers and a much chillier forecast. Daytime highs tomorrow, probably not much better than the mid-50s. Partly cloudy skies back around on Friday. We'll see temperatures in the mid-60s. And then Saturday, I know it's an important day for a lot of graduating seniors on the UW-Madison campus. Sunny skies, and it looks like we'll be back to the mid and upper 60s. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has your weather details on the way. Kicking us off this morning, we're going to focus in on a crop that wishes the fields were a little drier. Wisconsin ginseng. Now remember, in the state of Wisconsin, we've got about 100 ginseng growers. That number's small compared to the acres that they command. And Wisconsin ginseng worldwide is considered the premium product. Why? Because the very best ginseng can only be found in a 1,500 square mile region in the world. And guess what? Wisconsin smack dab in the middle of it. That's what I learned from Kirk Bauman. Kirk Bauman is a partner with Bauman Ginseng out of Wausau. He just got back from a USDA trade mission to India, trying to open up new markets for Wisconsin ginseng there. He said it's time well invested because that population is growing.
Well, we've looked at this India a little bit for the last couple of years as a board. Thinking that they might have background or history with traditional herbal medicine, you know, the way we fall into China with it. But not, they do have, you know, a history with it, but I think their product forms are going to be a little bit different than what's going to be in China. They're fairly strong in tea in India, which is where we have some marketability as a tea. They are looking at mixing it with other teas. They're looking, you know, as pairing. So they're happy with that. The other channel that we're looking at with the nutraceutical supplier for the nutraceutical industry, they would supply ginseng. Then the final companies would develop products with that, you know, different types of mixes for energy, for thought, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we can get that done with one of the bigger manufacturers, then there are a lot of companies that'll want to jump on the bandwagon there. And that type of product is more of our byproduct. So that would be great to have a channel into the nutraceutical. The other one is I met a food company over there, and they were interested as a food. They didn't know what the forms are, so we're still going to get samples over there for companies to look at, promote, think about how they can use it, develop it, you know, on that end. So it's just in its infancy, but with them being the largest population in the world now, surpassing China, it's a market that could be very large, you know. Mm-hmm. So It's interesting, but it'll take several years for sure before we start moving major amounts of ginseng in there.
Now, for all the world traveling that you've had an opportunity to do, Kirk, is there anything in particular you noticed about India's consumers, their grocery stores, their market structure, their disposable income? I know I'm asking you to get a lot for just the few days that you were there, but you got a pretty quick eye when it comes to the international marketplace. What did you see when you actually were boots on the ground in India that left an impression with you?
Yeah, for sure, you know, we're a high-priced commodity, for sure. You know, so we really only appeal to the top maybe 1 or 2% of the population in affordability. But that's still an awful lot of people. India is expected to grow their middle class by leaps and bounds over the next several years, where they'll double the middle class. And that'll bring up more upper-class people also. So I think we're looking at it, you know, as a long-term deal. But definitely the economy there is doing much better. Everybody is happy with the economy in India right now, which is good to hear, you know.
Right. Now, we mentioned that you were along with a delegation from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Foreign Ag Service, trying to introduce some of the U.S. commodities and agribusinesses to these potential customers. And you said you were the lone ginseng voice of this delegation. Who else was looking at India as their next great mark?
Well, there were a lot of nuts over there. pecan, pistachio, almond. I think they had negotiated and got their tariff dropped quite a bit from where they were. So that really appealed to the nut people for marketability. Ginseng comes in at 30%, some commodities 5%. Wine, though, is 150% tariff. So it varies hugely on your product that you're moving. There is also a lot of hardwood people there trying to move U.S. hardwoods in the furniture companies and different things of that nature. And so it covered a lot of different people, you know, from soybean to turkey to duck even. So, you know, there's pros and cons. A lot of people said they're still not viable for their market, but negotiations keep going, so things will change yet over the years.
Right. Again, Kirk Bauman along with us. He's one of the board directors for the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, fresh off a eye-opening experience with the U.S. Department of Agriculture representing Wisconsin ginseng in India. I wouldn't be doing my job as a farm broadcaster, Kirk, if I didn't ask you, though, how things are looking now that you're back at home. Where are most of your acres at for the Bauman Company, and how are things looking going into the growing season of 2024 for you?
Well, this was an interesting spring, for sure. It was so warm over winter. Lack of snow and stuff. So it's kind of hard to judge yet. We were kind of worried about the ginseng coming up too early in the year, and then we can get late snows with our covers being covered. That'll tear our gardens down. But we think long term, right now, we're just starting to close the covers as an industry, and it doesn't look like snow in the future. So I think we're good that way. The warm weather, it'll take 3-4 months for us to evaluate the fields.
Kurt Bauman, one of the partners with Bauman Ginseng out of Wausau. He's also a member of the board for the Wisconsin Ginseng Board. Just fresh off a trip to India to try to cultivate, no pun intended, new relationships for our premium Wisconsin ginseng. Kurt, in fact, had been traveling for 5 weeks. He had made stops in China to visit with existing partners there, then on to Vietnam, another growing market, and wrapped it off with that trade mission in India. Want to find out more? You can go to realwisconsinginseng.com and find out about that crop that Kirk was speaking of. Well, we're speaking weather on the way, and don't forget the rainfall reports you've got I want the toll-free number to call or text 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stumach on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. The Brewers and U.S. Cellular are celebrating the outstanding educators in our community with the Grand Slam Teacher of the Month Award. Visit brewers.com/teacher to learn more and nominate an educator today. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get up. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
They had to be specific, you know, like have some certain advice. Just tell me what happened. I'm just looking for what happened. Maybe some of you even saw hail. We'll talk weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, in just a moment. First, we want to get you geared up for summer. A lot of folks are getting ready for summer plans, and that may include travel. If you're driving, you already know that the gas price has escalated pretty substantially. Emily Score is the CEO of Growth Energy, and they're focused in on trying to make sure that pump price stays manageable by blending in ethanol. She says renewable fuels are something that helps the environment, and she says something like E15 can help your pocketbook.
E15 is a fuel blended with 15% ethanol. Standard gasoline is blended with 10% ethanol, and you know what? Most drivers don't actually know that. They're driving around, and their gas tank has 10% ethanol. We would like them to be driving on 15% ethanol. It's better for the environment. It's better for the pocketbook because it's more affordable, and it's going to be great for driving demand and really bringing income back to the rural economy because that's going to drive a lot more corn grind. So that's what E15 is.
Emily Score, she's the CEO of Growth Energy. She says, actually, the more that you use E15, or if your tank can handle it, E85, the better the environment will be, she explains.
The more ethanol you use, actually, the better for the environment, the cleaner the emissions coming out of the tailpipe. If you look at the innovations taking place on the farm and at the plant, the theme is more with less. We are producing more with less, fewer inputs on the farm, fewer inputs at the plant, cleaner environmental profile. But the environmentalists don't agree with that, and really it's an ideology for them. They don't want production agriculture to be part of the green economy, and so there's friction there, and it really is making sure that we bring forward the sound science that shows, look at the innovation that's taking place in the industry. We continue to be cleaner and greener. We continue to do more with less, and so therefore we should be embracing biofuels, not challenging them.
Emily Scorr, CEO of Growth Energy, talking about the ethanol industry. But she also reminds folks it's not just about the fuel alone. Remember, the byproducts of the ethanol industry also include more inexpensive high-protein animal feed. They've got corn oil and other health and safety applications that they can have with ethanol. And they're also working on sustainable aviation fuel if they can get through some logistical and regulatory hurdles there. So ethanol, hoping that you'll think about them when you fuel up this summer. I was thinking about him as the rain was coming down. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Holy potato, yesterday morning, I want to say it was about 7 o'clock, 7:15 in the Madison area. The skies got black, just super, super dark, and I was afraid we were going to get some severe stuff out of it. Didn't get a lot of severe, did we? I heard some random reports of pea-sized hail, but nothing else too severe, did we, Stu?
Yeah, hail, a little wind gusts here and there. The big deal was rainfall.
Yeah, and I'm to your point, it does look like folks in eastern Wisconsin got more. 1.5 inches way up in Lena, no field work for a while. 2 inches in Two Rivers, Pewaukee 1.4, 1.6 in the Burlington area. So those folks really got nailed. Not so much if you got a little farther west, huh?
Yeah, you get further west, it's less. I had a report at the Sheboygan County Airport, 1.49 inches, 1.25 inches in my gauge right here near Eden. And then you look further west, and 0.67 inches at the airport in Madison, 0.66 inches at La Crosse. Certainly lighter rain, 0.6 inches at Baraboo as well, up in Iola, Waupaca County, 0.75 inches. So a lot of difference in rain. Low pressure has been pulling away. The system pulling off to our northeast. Still a little rain in far northeast Wisconsin up into the UP. That will end pretty quickly today, and the skies are going to clear out. Not a bad spring day, but there's another low going to pass just to our south near southern Iowa into central Illinois into tomorrow, and that system may account again for a rain chance, especially in southern Wisconsin. Not so great further north, but a chance of rain late tonight into early Thursday, and we could pick up another half or maybe 0.75 inches as we head into Thursday. Cooler with clouds and rain Thursday, but the sunshine does return, so temps are expected to warm up for Friday and Saturday as well. And there will be one more small rain chance late Friday or into Friday night into Saturday. I don't expect we'll get a big washout to start the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
It's Mother's Day this weekend. What's that you say? You completely forgot? Well, guess what? Bavaria Sausage has you covered. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage, where you can shop online at BavariaSausage.com or in their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrunner Road in Fitchburg. Remember, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with extended hours, 9 until 6. Take a look at their specially curated Mother's Day gift box. Again, you can ship it or you can deliver it. It features all kinds of curated German sweets and treats that mom will appreciate. You say, well, mom's not much for sweets. Well, how about some of their fantastic bratwursts? Or take a look at some of the newly curated flavors in Lanyagers. It's all available. And I see they've got the first brat fry of the 2024 season scheduled for May 24th. Keep checking back often because things change on their website, BavariaSausage.com. One more reason to celebrate Mother's Day, Bavaria Sausage. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast today. Dry, tomorrow more rain.
Yep, that's it. The Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast is calling for that rain to end in northeast Wisconsin skies to become mostly sunny. And there will be some low 70s, maybe mid-70s in the south, and winds become east about 5. Overnight, clouds redevelop. Late in the night, a shower. Could be a thunderstorm, especially in the south, a thunderstorm. Just a rain chance further north. We drop into the upper 40s, mid or upper 40s, and east winds 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy, showers tomorrow, the possibility of a thunderstorm in the south, temps in the upper 50s only, the northeast winds 5 to 15. More sunshine Friday, a slight rain chance by later in the day in the upper 60s with the northwest winds at 5 to 10. A little rain chance still lingers even to Saturday, Pam. And those temperatures sound pretty mild heading into next week back toward the 70s.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, it's this weekend's graduation for the UW folks, so I'm hoping that the weather cooperates. Yeah, I'm getting more in now. So north Fond du Lac, just short of 1 inch. 1.5 in Kenosha, 9/10 by Alto. So, yeah, and almost 2 inches by the just northeast of What did they say? Menominee Falls. So, yeah, rainfall totals just keep kind of piling in that area.
That eastern side of the state got more out of it.
At least we didn't get the tornadoes they got in Michigan.
Yep, that's all right. We can skip that.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. See you later.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, be it agriculture or rural America. Visit compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. It's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in Racine and in the surrounding communities every morning. We're talking with local guests who have lifestyle and important information to share with you. We'll have local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. So wake up with me weekday morning 6 till 8 on 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Racine and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about how to get out of credit card debt. It's going to sound so simple, it's silly. Call your credit card company and ask them for a lower interest rate. I mean, they really will do this sometimes. Now, before you call, get your facts together. If you've been doing all the right things, you know, like paying on time every month, tell them that and ask for a lower rate. If you're going through a tough time, like unemployment, tell them your story. In most cases, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And if they still don't budge, let them know you're thinking about leaving. Mention lower rates you've seen from other credit cards. And finally, if you really don't get anywhere with the first person you talk to, call back and, you know, try talking to somebody else. A 20-minute call could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. A second round of powerful tornadoes rips through the Midwest. This man and his friends are helping in Portage, Michigan.
People are trapped in their neighborhood. Cars were trapped. We were just trying to clean those cars off and clean neighborhood exits out so people can leave their house if they need to.
Dozens of employees trapped inside a FedEx facility have been rescued. An Israeli military spokesman insists coordination between allies is still unmatched. After CBS News confirmed the U.S. is withholding an arms shipment over concerns about an expected raid on Rafah. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Indeed, the United States has been holding up the shipment of dozens of major pieces of ammunition to Israel.
Stormy Daniels delivers salacious details of an alleged tryst with Donald Trump at his hush money trial. CBS's Robert Costa.
Daniels' comments drew repeated objections from Trump's lawyers, who asked for a mistrial, claiming the prosecution was trying to embarrass the former president.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tickets are on sale for new Amtrak service between the Twin Cities and Chicago. The trains will make 8 stops in Wisconsin. The second daily round-trip trains start running on the 21st. Coach fares start at $41 with discounts for students, seniors, and military personnel and their families. Another summer of wildfire smoke could be bad for your health. Travis Knudsen of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency says small particles in wildfire smoke can cause itchy eyes, coughing, and short-term breathing problems.
If you are someone who already suffers from respiratory issues like you have asthma, it makes those acute symptoms that much more challenging and potentially problematic from a health perspective.
Today is World Asthma Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A 6-5 win in Kansas City over the Royals. Top of the ninth, the Crew down 5-3. The Royals fans daring Adames to be the hero. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win.
Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on-deck circle, Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to him over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to me. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. That's what he did. It's amazing. No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with him during Gary's at bat. And he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more. And he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go. Watch this. And up there, I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden in Racine, Wisconsin. Crudy's there. He's going to bring you all the coverage on the Devil's Advocates. Tune in 3-6, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4-6.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 68 for a high this afternoon. The wind west becoming easterly at 5-15. Tonight, scattered showers and thunder showers possible. Our low 47 tomorrow. A little rain in the morning, clearing by late afternoon. It's going to be windy with a high tomorrow near 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg versus Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a block, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get up. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you
think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, we might dry it out a little bit today, but more rain in the forecast tomorrow. Today's daytime highs under partly cloudy skies expected to be the mid-70s, cooler on the lakeshore. Tomorrow, showers and 59 are expected high. For Friday, partly cloudy, 67. Sunshine returns on Saturday, 67 degrees. Glad you're along with us, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. So let's see. Today is the 8th day of May. What can I tell you? Let's see. It says on this day in 1886, Coca-Cola was invented. Now, this is according to legend, Dr. John Pemberton, a pharmacist in Atlanta, made a syrup in a brass pot in his backyard. At first, he thought it was going to be a medicine. Today, what was that medicine has turned out to be one of the world's most popular soft drinks. Coca-Cola, invented on this day back in 1886. On this day in 1970, the Beatles released their album, Let It Be. On this day in 1978, Reinhold Messner and Peter Hobler climbed Mount Everest without oxygen. They didn't think that it was possible to conquer the world's highest mountain without some kind of supplemental oxygen. The two did it on this day back in 1978. Happy anniversary to actress Bombshell Ann Margaret. She wed her husband, Roger Smith, on this day back in 1967. They were married until he passed in 2017. And now you know. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Say it with me, STEFFESgroup.com. Or if you'd like to talk to them, call them on the phone, 800-726-8609. Always something happening with the Steffes Group. I'm looking at their fantastic website now, and I see, boy, that Kibble Group always brings you great opportunities for great deals. Ashley Hewn along with us. That one just always impresses me with the quality and the lineup of the equipment that they bring to auction.
Yeah, it really does. And this one in May on the 18th is going to be a little bit different. You know, usually they're selling big 9RX tractors and combines and stuff, but this is one of their lawnmower stores, their Ag and Turf. And so we're going to have a lot of lawn tractors on this sale, a lot of little garden tractors and loader tractors and John Deere Gators on there. So a little something for everybody that lives in the country. You know, everybody dreams of having that nice little loader tractor to run around in.
Boy, for sure, for sure. Now, again, let's remind folks, if they are thinking about lawn and garden, maybe they haven't done it this way before, what do they have to do in advance if they want to be a part of the bidding process, Ashley? Run them through the basics of how they can engage with this great sale.
Yeah, super easy. You know, if you've never logged in on our website before, it takes about 5 minutes to put your information in, but you know, right off of our homepage, all the auctions are listed in date. So, you know, you'd see a picture of it, and then you just scroll down to where you find the Kibble sale, click on it, and, you know, there's probably 200 lots of equipment on there, and just take a look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, like we said, a lot of traffic that goes through the website on any given day, and the part that I really like, especially if you're a seller, is the data that you folks are able to provide for the people after the sale. You pay attention to everything from views on social media to clicks and download, huh?
Yeah, we really do. You know, we don't take anything for granted, and we're trying to get the most for our sellers we can, and so we're always constantly monitoring the views and things like that. If something isn't where we think it should be, we'll add more advertising dollars to it and get it where it needs to be.
Right. Again, like we said, the best place to start is on the website, steffesgroup.com. Don't forget about their downloadable price app that you can kind of keep track of things much easier, especially when you get busy with spring planting or what have you. And I see you also share information like the top 10 items that sold in April, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you want to take a dive into that and see some of the high prices there, we had a lot of really nice equipment in April, even right through the end of April, which was surprising. But, you know, we're going to be cool off here for a couple of weeks while guys are in the field. And I can tell you, June is stacking up right now, and we'll be seeing another catalog coming out.
Well, and that's another reason why people might want to reach out to the office if they're thinking about an auction. Give yourself some time, folks. It suits you best to plan ahead. That's 800-726-8609 if you want to talk with someone, or, again, reach out through the website. How much time do you usually advise people, Ashley, if they're considering an auction, to get planning, get talking about pictures and visits, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the project, but you better figure 30 days to be able to do it right.
Right.
You know, I always say we can have a sale tomorrow, but we should tell somebody first.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. And I see that now, as you said, with people getting more busy in the fields, and you're still busy, the dynamics change a little bit. A lot of what you call ring auctions that have different components that you pull together in a group, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that twice a month. We call it our bi-monthly auction, and that usually consists of three or four rings each time, keeping agriculture and construction separated out, and transportation as well.
Yeah, I see rock pickers. It made my hands and back sore just looking at that one phrase. So, all right, Ashley, we'll have a great week. We'll talk with you again next week, see how things are going along, all right?
Sounds good. Take care.
Ashley Hewitt along with us from the Steffes Group. Happy to visit with them every week, and you should be happy to check out their website every day, steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com. Or pick up the phone if you're getting ready, 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewitt with the Steffes Group.
We're all mutual insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Optimize your farming with Madison Area Drone Service, your comprehensive drone hub for sales, repairs, and equipment. Their cutting-edge agriculture spray drones ensure precise field applications, significantly reducing waste and enhancing distribution accuracy. With advanced GPS technology, avoid obstacles like tree lines, neighboring fields, and livestock. Getting started is simple with Madison Area Drone Service. Discover more at widroneservice.com. Madison Area Drone Service, streamlining agriculture.
Well, an overnight electronic trade on a Wednesday morning, our corn and soybeans are trending a little bit lower. Right now, it looks like December new crop corn's down a penny at 487. November new crop beans down 6 cents at 1222. July new crop wheat, that is up a penny and a half right now, 644 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 188. 40-pound block cheese also down a quarter of a cent, 183 and three quarters. Double A butter, that lost 5 1/4 cents, still at 302 and a quarter per pound. The June class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 6 cents at 1949 a hundredweight. July class 3 milk up 2 this morning at 1928 a hundredweight. May is Beef Month, and the Beef Checkoff has announced they're partnering with the Little League World Series this year. Dan Gaddis, who is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says there's about 2 million players that are involved in Little League annually, and that accounts for 70% of youth baseball in the United States. So he said it made a perfect partnership. Part of the official sponsorship is that Beef will be the perfect home plate sponsor with Little League, and that includes a beef dinner they'll be hosting the night before the opening game of the Little League Baseball World Series, helping to fuel those athletes. If you want to find out more, you can go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com, and you'll see the Little League tab right there. Up next, biotechnology can be an intimidating phrase when it comes to consumers and their food. Stephanie Hoff speaks with a group that tries to help break down those communication barriers. That's up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
What's on tap? Brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew, because we're from Milwaukee too. Tastes like Miller time. Mondays are for baseball with Brewers Miller High Life Mondays. Grab your terrace infield or outfield seats for $6 or Loge bleacher seats for just $12. Courtesy of Miller High Life. Get yours at brewers.com/highlife. Milwaukee Brewers Baseball and Miller Lite.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
This is producer Anya. On our next show, Maggie and I will discuss Holocaust denialism, genocide prevention, and what all of us can do about it. Never again is now.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Fresh off a trip to Washington, D.C., where they were talking not only about policy, but practices. Sometimes when you say the phrase biotechnology connected to production agriculture, consumers get a little concerned. But as Stephanie found out, biotechnology can help build not only resiliency in production agriculture, but ultimately help us with climate change. Stephanie?
Tastier salad greens and heat-resistant cattle. These are products of genetic engineering that can help the food system become more efficient and sustainable. This is according to Beth Alikidis. She heads up the agriculture and environment section at BIO. BIO stands for Biotechnology Innovation Organization. This group represents 1,000 members in biotechnology, companies, states, colleges that work in everything from pharmaceuticals to agriculture. She tells us about some of the innovations in genetic engineering.
There's so much that our members are doing. It's actually probably more than the mind can really imagine. There's a lot of different products that really will help our farmers get ahead. So it could be anywhere from pesticide reduction in the soil using nitrogen and also carbon capture. We also have non-browning apples. We also have genetically engineered fish. We also have even glow-in-the-dark fish. We also have glow-in-the-dark flowers. I mean, you know, you name it, we probably got it. A lot of it, I'm describing more the fun thing, but there's also a lot of things that will, you know, of course, help animal welfare. We also have human benefits as well. And then more broadly, we, of course, have environmental benefits as well.
So when someone hears a genetic engineered fish, it might sound sci-fi at first, but give us a reality of the usefulness of having a fish that glows in the dark or a flower that can glow.
Well, I'll start with a genetically engineered fish. So it took this particular company 20 years to get through the process, which is part of what Bio is really working on, is try to help get these products through the process faster and help overcome the regulatory hurdles. We're not asking for less regulation, of course. We're just asking for more coordinated regulation. But GE fish are not Frankenfish. They're not like your grandfather's Frankenfish, as we used to always laugh about. It's really modifying these fish in a way so that they need less to grow and thrive, less disease, and obviously, you know, in this sense, it's for better taste as well. There's even things that could happen where, say, if someone has something like kale or mustard greens, well, some people would not consider those the tastiest, even though maybe you and I like them, but you can, those are highly sought after for the nutritional value, and so they're working on changing the taste content of those products, so that way people are more likely to eat them and still also get the nutritional benefit. So there's also things like that that would be done with GE as well.
And it's amazing because if people are breeding for these types of traits, it could take generations. But with genetic engineering, it's faster.
It is. There is a particular science, especially when it comes to animals, you're looking for one specific gene that you want to either remove or keep. And, you know, you could also have like, for example, cattle that can withstand temperatures better, you know, they can also withstand drought. And I know that, like, a lot of our farmers are dealing with those type of issues year-round, unfortunately. And so these products would really help, again, animal welfare, and then, of course, also help a farmer's bottom line. I'll also add that it's also very precise. So because, you know, these scientists know exactly what they're looking for in the gene editing process, they're able to be more precise and pinpoint what it is that they either, again, want to cut or keep or flourish.
Beth Alikidis along with us. She leads the Agriculture and Environment section at Biotechnology Innovation Organization, or BIO. Unfortunately, the association says some of our trade partners haven't embraced the benefits of genetic engineering. Lynn Finnerty joins us. She is the Director of Public Affairs with BIO. She says specifically they're keeping their eye on developments with our neighbor to the south.
In Mexico, the current political leadership there has taken a very populist stance against biotechnology, and the president of Mexico did a decree in 2022 that would ban imports of biotech corn. Now, at the same time, they're facing their worst drought in 70 years, and their own livestock producers are worried about where they're going to get their feed from. So I think reality is going to get in the way of those political interests there. But in the meantime, the United States has filed a formal dispute against Mexico under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. That will be decided this fall. And we look forward to a science-based outcome that will allow for innovation to continue, because we need it more than ever with climate pressures affecting food security.
Give me some more background on the reason that the Mexican president did not want biotech corn.
So the decree actually initially didn't make any distinction between biotech corn for human consumption versus other uses. And those other uses could be anything from livestock feed to industrial uses. So no distinction was made. Then a second decree came out clarifying that it was more about corn for tortillas, human consumption. However, any ban on biotech corn is an attack on the technology that we need to meet global food demand. And their livestock producers in Mexico are going to be in a world of hurt, especially when they're facing a record drought. They're going to have trouble sourcing enough feed to feed their animals. You know, I don't have the numbers, but a lot of our exports of biotech corn are for livestock feed, as well as for manufacturing of processed foods. And a large portion of the Mexican diet, same as anywhere else, is in processed foods. And so it will have a huge impact on our exports and on farmers' ability to use the technologies they need to be productive.
And how much of U.S. corn is GE or genetically engineered?
It would be north of 85% of the U.S. corn crop is biotech corn.
This is what's on your mind right now. What about any other countries that have you flagged?
We've been really pleased over the past few months to see the European Parliament moving forward with policy to accept new genomic techniques. Those are technologies such as CRISPR, where you have very precise turning on and off of traits within one organism. So we're happy to see that progress in the European Union, where, you know, in the past they've been fairly resistant to biotech innovation. So we're closely following that. And then I'll just share that at the COP climate conference last fall, you know, Europe and other countries came to the table to talk about what they need to do to bring down greenhouse gas emissions and address our worsening climate situation. And Europe was there at the table agreeing that we have to accept some of these innovations in order to meet the goals that have been set around climate.
Lynn Finnerty along with us, Senior Director of Public Affairs at BIO. She says the Biotechnology Innovation Organization is working to bring more efficiency for approvals of new biotechnology here domestically, and then they're working to increase acceptance of biotech among trade partners. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. That,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Some sobering statistics on the loss of farms and farmland today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Since 1980, both the number of farms and the amount of farmland in the United States have dropped dramatically. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack recently told a Senate Ag subcommittee,
"We've lost 544,970 farms. Now, to give you a sense of how many farms that is, that's all the farms that exist today in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, and Oklahoma."
Now, one might think this is because a number of smaller farms can merge resources to become one big farm, thereby reducing the overall number of farms. However, says Vilsack,
"We've lost 151 million acres of farmland. That is land that was in farming that is no longer in farming. That is the entire land mass of Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, and a good part of Virginia. I don't think anybody on this committee, and I don't think anybody in this Congress, in the Senate or the House, or in this federal government, believes that that's an appropriate direction for agriculture."
Vilsack urged senators to ensure a safety net within the next farm bill, along with market expansion for ag production. He also suggested finding new uses for ag waste products, reducing concentration in ag processing, and encouraging more local and regional food systems. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Civic Media.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly.